America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on bbc.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. As we speak, tens of thousands of immigrants across the country are currently being detained by federal agents, while more than 100,000 have been deported since President Trump took office in January. And for months, people here without legal status and other immigrant communities, well, they've been on edge. Many are skipping medical appointments. The kids don't go to class. Some are hiding in their homes, even not showing up at their jobs. Home health care aides are no exception. They're an often overlooked workforce, largely made up of people who aren't from here. Now, if you're an older person, you're responsible for an older family member, or you've got a disability, then you know exactly what I'm talking about because you have come to rely on their home visits for your everyday support. But as the demand for home health care aides is expected to grow, and that fear of ICE arrests is also heightened, well, the combination's forcing some Chicagoans in need to go without the extra help. So in this conversation, we'll break down how the fear of mass deportation is impacting home health care aides in our area. We'll hear the story of one Chicagoan who's been struggling lately to find care and what all this could mean for local nursing homes and hospital. At the table, we had Elvia Malagon, health reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times, and Michelle Garcia, who's a manager of organizing and community development at Access Living. Elvia started us off by further explaining what home health aides do.
So there are some folks who are going into private homes and they're helping with personal hygiene, but they may also be doing things like helping you clean around the house, maybe do some meal prepping for you if you can't cook. And there's also another level of home health care where it requires a bit more skilled labor where they're actually like administering, for example, like medicine if someone is not able to do that for themselves. So there are different variations, and there's some folks who are working through agencies, home health care agencies, but there's also this more informal economy where, you know, Chicago residents are just hiring people who do this type of work to come into their homes.
I see. And so talk more about that impact that we're seeing here hit this industry in particular, now that Trump's got this mass deportation policy just sweeping across the nation.
Yeah. I think for now, I mean, we're 6 months into Trump's second term.
But he's moving fast.
Yes. It feels like a lifetime, but it's only 6 months. So we don't have a full clear data picture of what this means for this particular sector. But as we were talking to folks in the Chicago area, we did start to see signs that these policies are affecting this industry. And Michelle will talk about her personal story, but we also called around to home care agencies. Many of them didn't want to go on the record, but they did say that their workers, many of whom are immigrants, are worried. And some of them,
what's their biggest fear?
For some of them, it's just going, the travel aspect of it,
okay.
In particular when they're hearing about ICE, in particular parts of Chicago. And this is for workers who are really all kinds of immigration status, not just undocumented, but folks who are green card holders or may have TPS or DACA. So it really varies.
Yeah. And just to give us some context here, how many people are we talking about? What percentage of home health and personal aides are immigrants?
Yeah. Here in Chicago, actually, it's about 65%.
Oh, wow. So most.
Yes. And that's even a larger share than nationally. Nationally, it's about 42% of home health aides who are immigrants. But in the Chicago area, it's an even bigger proportion of that.
Yeah, let's bring Michelle in here. Michelle, Access Living supports people with disabilities. But I know that this story, as Elvia alluded to, is very personal for you, right? So tell us why.
Well, I'm a person with a disability who requires supports from people to come into my home and help me do my day-to-day activities. So I need someone, like Elvia was mentioning, to come into my home, help me do, you know, some light cleaning or meal prep and other supports as well.
And when you realized sort of the way things were going and that it would start to become a struggle for you to get that continued care that you had become so reliant on, what went through your mind?
I definitely was like, what am I going to do now? Because I rely very heavily on home health care workers, mainly immigrant home health care workers, to support me. Not just me, but my partner as well. We're both people with disabilities who require supports, you know, from being able to get ready for the day to, you know, being able to move along through the day. So it does, we were definitely thinking, okay, what is it going to look like to figure out what's our next step in ensuring that we have the supports we need for both of us.
Yeah, and so you're using a wheelchair. You've got cerebral palsy, I believe.
Yes.
Your husband is dealing with a spinal cord injury and is bedridden. So as you said, I mean, you're both relying on care. How do you manage, though, right now with his health without the extra help?
Most definitely. At the moment, we've been relying on family and friends and neighbors.
Okay.
Obviously, they've been, you know, as supportive as they can. However, we know that the skill that home health care workers have is much more what we need as individuals with disabilities. You know, a home health care worker many times goes to trainings and knows how to basically help us day to day, right? A family member, a friend is learning on the go on how to support us. And they're not there, you know, on the day-to-day activities to know what we need.
Right.
And so it's kind of difficult. So this is why it's important to have a person who knows how to support us very well, like a home health care worker. It's very important for us.
Yeah, Michelle really outlines the importance there, just even talking about the difference of, like, when my family steps in, it takes a second for us to get them up to speed on what the home healthcare aide would just know right off the bat. I alluded earlier to the fact that this industry, this workforce of home healthcare workers, it's overlooked, Elvia.
Yeah, definitely. I think especially because, you know, often when we think about healthcare, we're thinking about doctors in hospitals.
Yes.
We're thinking about big industries. But something that I've heard, especially from folks who are living with disabilities, is the importance of being able to live at home independently and
That's
not
right.
be in facilities. And especially someone that I spoke to also mentioned, really the need for these types of workers is only expected to increase in the coming years because the aging population continues to grow.
Yeah, we'll have more seniors.
Yeah, and also seniors also want to live out their last years at homes. A lot of them don't want to go into facilities.
Why are there so many immigrant workers in home health care? What's the draw? I mean, and this comes from a personal story for me. My mom did this for many, many years. I remember pretty much my entire teenage life, her doing this, right? She went from nursing homes to doing private care.
Yeah. I spoke to one person who does this type of work. She herself is an immigrant. She's a naturalized citizen now, but she works with a lot of other immigrants. And the folks that are working with her, oftentimes, this is a second job for them oftentimes. Mm-hmm. So they're here working a full-time job.
There's always the juggle, right?
Yes. And for a lot of them, I think because they're used to caretaking in their family, some of this becomes kind of natural for them.
Comes natural. It's also natural. Women do this often, right? I remember my mom's coworkers were often women, often from different parts of the world, right? Immigrants. So this has kind of been a longstanding thing. I also remember the transition into it, because it came so naturally, wasn't too difficult. Like, there weren't too many certifications and things that you had to get to be able to do it legally.
Yeah. And definitely, as well as there being this informal economy where it's through word of mouth that people are learning about each other. I think that also helps as well.
The physical and emotional toll that this takes has got to be great. Did you hear some stories from the folks you talk with?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that was one of the things some national experts talked about, was that oftentimes this is why Americans who may have other career options don't want to do this type of job, because it is not only physically taxing to do, but also like emotionally. Mm. Oftentimes you are with people in very intimate settings when they're going through really some heavy physical and healthcare problems, but also there's some folks that you're caretaking for that are living out their last days, and that could be a huge burden for someone.
So Michelle, as we've been talking about here, you are relying on Chicago's immigrant community for this kind of care. You're also now, because you've had to experience these gaps in care as folks are not showing up to the job at your home, you're seeking out these services on your own. So does your insurance cover this kind of care?
No.
So,
no, unfortunately not.
What's the workaround? You just have to pay out of pocket.
Yes, I have to pay out of pocket. Yeah.
And how's that been?
It hasn't been easy. You know, I obviously need the support, so I budget as much as I can to get the support.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need it. And so I, you know, plan out, okay, this is how much I can afford to pay for supports, how many days I can afford to pay for supports. You know, if I have to plan out, okay, so, you know, I'll do a day or two or, and then like this has been, I used to be able to get someone to come out 1 to 2 days a week,
because
that's more or less what I could, you know, get them to come and also afford them to pay for them to come. But now with everything going on, I've had to wait for them to come, not just days, but weeks.
Right.
They won't come to my home because of them being in fear. So it's been like not 1 or 2 weeks. It's been almost three weeks.
Wow.
Without them coming to my home. And also the payment has, you know, increased. They asked for, I mean, I understand the fear, and I understand we are all living in a very harsh economy at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand what they're going, why they ask for more payment. But I've had people who say, well, can you pay me $100 an hour to come and support you? And I'm like, well, I can't afford that.
Mm.
But I can afford, you know,
yeah,
60, 70 maybe.
It's a tricky spot to be in because, you know, you're and everything I read in Elvia's story and just listening to you now, Michelle, you're very sympathetic to the situation. You tell them, of course, don't come to my home if you're in fear of, I don't want you to, the last thing I want is for you to get arrested, potentially. But you need the help at the same time. You need the help. And it's these delays, you know, going weeks at a time without the care that you need, it's even impacting your professional life, right?
You're also
not going to work because you're thinking, if I can't properly clean myself, why would I go amongst my peers?
For sure. It's impacting my work environment, my professional life, like you mentioned, and it's also impacting my personal life, right? So we have family and friends, and, you know, my partner and I, we know that there's the fear of folks that can't come and help us, but we also know that there's, you know, people that can't help us because they don't know exactly how to help us.
Right.
So it is
very
taxing on that.
Yeah. Elvia, what could all of this mean for, I'm thinking of nursing homes, hospitals?
Yeah. What I heard from some national experts that I spoke to is that there is a worry and a concern that this could really impact not only folks like Michelle, mm-hmm. but also it could impact shortages that are already existing at hospitals and at nursing facilities, yeah, especially because, for example, if someone could be released from the hospital into their home, but they can't because there's not that level of care that they could receive, that kind of jams up hospitals. So mm-hmm. it could have this bigger impact.
There's a current shortage of care workers for the elderly, isn't there?
Yeah. And
people like with mobility issues.
Yes.
So we're kind of already facing that. This sounds like it just makes it worse.
Yeah. And that's one of the fears, is that it could make it worse. And it's also because there's so many different layers to what's going on. So it's not just one specific population of immigrants. It really touches on all these different aspects. And, you know, for example, one expert that I spoke to mentioned, you know, specifically folks who have been working and they've been here because they have TPS. There's been so many changes to that.
Oh, yeah.
So it really impacts a wide variety of folks. And
then who will fill these jobs? If we've got the mostly immigrant population that does this work in fear of showing up to the shift, are we going to see maybe an influx of American citizens filling in the slots?
One person I spoke to said they didn't think that was going to happen, mm-hmm. and that even if more Americans did take these jobs, it's just kind of a situation where the need is so great that they really do need immigrants to help fill this job or to bring in more workers to help fill these roles.
Wow. What a domino effect this has caused.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there for now. Elvia Malagon is a health reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times. Michelle Garcia is manager of organizing and community development at Access Living. And you can read more about this at WBEZ.org and suntimes.com. Thank you both so much.
Thank you so much.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Sienna Greaves and edited by Dan Tucker. If you liked this conversation, please consider rating this podcast or leaving a review. It helps other listeners find us. Or consider subscribing so that you never miss an episode about how federal policy affects local residents. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.